could tell us what to wear. You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, hour number two. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jargle Fever, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you missed the first hour, a lot of basketball talk. So check that out.
Shocking that we would talk hoops this time.
A lot of AJ's insight into the tournament, which I think you will find to be very useful.
Could all be worthless. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if it is.
Yeah, but it's at least it's an educated worthless. If you're going to be wrong with conviction. A couple things. Man, everybody's tweeting me pictures of 90 and 91 degrees.
Yeesh.
Aaron says, long time no listen to. Thanks, work. Question for both. Who do you feel is a weaker number one seed, Oregon or Virginia?
Virginia.
I agree. I think Virginia is the weaker of the two.
Oregon may be my... That's probably the one team that I'm almost certain is going to be in my Final Four. If you said you have to lock in one right now, and this one is definitely going to be in the Final Four, Oregon would be the first one I'd pick.
Okay. Michigan State is mine.
That'd probably be the second one for me. Although I think...
But I do have Oregon. And the one I just did, which is not... And we'll talk more about the bracket challenge here going forward, but the one I just put in, I have Oregon in there.
Yeah.
So... which I just did it to see how long it would take. If you want to play, just go to ESPN 97.5, beat the host, and it takes like 5 minutes. So it's pretty easy. Once you have an account, nothing to it. 713 says, bad news, missed the first half of the show because my computer clock was wrong. Good news, work just ended sooner than I thought it would.
There you go.
This always throws
nice
me
when
off.
That happens, huh?
Yeah, because I had to come in this morning and filled in for a couple hours. And driving in, I didn't have my car set yet, so it was kind of freaking me out. I had to keep checking my phone to make sure that I still had plenty of time to get here. And I thought at 9 in the morning, there'd be a lot of traffic and it'd be hard to get here. But I didn't account for spring break because it didn't take long at all. So it's nice that there aren't as many people on the road, although I'm guessing there's probably not as many people listening in their cars either. I did learn something very valuable today that I had never heard.
All right.
This is why I love the fact that I learned something on this show almost every day. This morning, I learned that there's actually a term that refers to bands called butt rock. I had never heard that. Have you heard that?
I've not heard of butt rock. Tell me more about this.
Butt rock is a popular term referring to a subgenre of hard rock strongly influenced by post-grunge and nu metal and originated in the mid to late 90s. And then I found a list of the top 10 butt rock bands of all time.
Who's the greatest butt rock band?
Well, I have to say, I'm a huge butt rock fan, and I had no idea.
I'm not surprised that you are.
Number one on the list is Shinedown.
Oh, yeah, you're a big butt rocker.
Number nine is 3 Days Grace, which I like a lot. Theory of a Dead Man's on that list. Puddle of Mud. I mean, these are all bands I like. And there's a few that I've never heard of. Amberlin, are you familiar with them?
No.
Breaking Benjamin I've heard of, but I'm not really. 30 Seconds to Mars, not Stone Sour, I'm not familiar with those.
I like Stone Sour. That's the band I do like.
Seether, I like Seether.
All right.
And then Shinedown's number one. So there is something called butt rock, and apparently I'm a huge fan of it.
All right.
That's what I learned today. That and... It was kind of fun doing the show with Jerome and Chris Taylor because I could kind of be the...
Is Jerome a butt rock guy?
No, Jerome is not a butt rock guy.
I wouldn't have thought so.
No.
He seems like a guy who's probably anti-butt rock.
Probably so, but I did make sure that they played some butt rock for them.
What about Chris Taylor? Butt rock or not butt rock?
Not butt rock, but when I got him to play one song, he didn't hate it.
Okay.
And I think Jerome recognized it from the strip clubs, would be my guess, so he didn't hate it either. Because it's probably a pretty good pole song, I'm just speculating. But, yeah, just something different. You learn something new every day. Yeah, see, Dustin said he hadn't heard of it until this morning either. How is it that all of us listen to these bands and we didn't know what that's called? Yeah, so. Jung, is that something you've ever heard of?
No, not the term. I don't know a lot of these bands, but I didn't know butt rock was a term.
Well, I'm a butt rocker. I'll just say that.
Wouldn't you just categorize them as like alternative?
Yeah, it's alternative. I mean, that's what I've always thought of it as. I mean, those are all pretty much alternative bands. But Chris says they call it butt rock because all those bands are bleep. I respectfully disagree. And you know what? You don't have to like what we like.
Yeah.
That's cool. I happen to like a lot of the bands on that list.
How do you, so Jung, on this bracket thing, once you get to the bracket challenge area, where's the, how do you see like the, who else is in the group?
I have not gone that far yet.
Oh, Jung, you're the guy we're asking about this stuff.
Well, the only one that I have said, well, mine says not saved. I did save it.
Uh-oh.
Well, it's all on there, but.
This is confusing.
Yeah.
Way too confusing.
Well, see, then I click on it and it says saved. But it only shows me. It does not show everybody else who's already signed up.
Interesting.
So I wonder if there's a way to... There's got to be a way to look at everybody's, right?
I mean, a lot of the times you can't see somebody else's bracket until the game start.
Right.
Because that's when they're locked in.
Hmm.
But you should at least be able to see who else is in the pool with you, right?
I would agree. But I am signed up for it.
All right.
So
I think I am too.
Dude, Austin has 95 at guns point. Goodness gracious.
What's going on here?
I wonder where that guy who threw the snowball last year in Congress is when we talk about global warming.
Good question.
I'd like to, I'd be curious where that guy is. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Man, I wanted to get to a little more Texans stuff because we talked with RJ last week about the odds. Well, I was going through cron.com today, and the Wynn Sportsbook actually did make a move on him. When we had RJ on, the number had stayed at 35. It opened at 35 and stayed at 35.
Right.
Well, apparently the Wynn Las Vegas Sportsbook had them opening at 45. After the Super Bowl. Care to guess where they are now? With the addition of Osweiler and Miller from 45.
To 35.
20.
Ooh.
Yeah. Now.
Silly.
I think it's a little silly too, but the, I got to call out whoever this writer is for the Chronicle, Greg Ragin. This is what drives me nuts about people who kind of delve into gambling stories. He quotes John Avello, the executive director for race and sports at Wynn, who we've had on the show before.
Right.
And he has it spelled Johnny O-V-E-L-L-O. And that dude's one of the more famous guys in Vegas. It's with an A. It's John Avello. Come on. Shame Bell. That would be like...
Shame.
Quoting R.J. Ball. Come on, guys. I can't believe nobody's bothered to even fix that. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. Boy, a lot of people texting me that Amberlin's pretty good. I'm not familiar with it. I probably have heard a song, and I just don't know who it is. But we'll have to see.
Did you see in non-college basketball news, the Warriors... who were on the ropes against the Suns at fourth quarter. They were trailing, came back and won pretty handily, 123-116. I think they were down double digits, though, going into the fourth. The BPI projections for ESPN,
yeah,
to break the record now, their chance to get 72 wins, 68%.
Wow.
Their chance to get 73 wins, 43%. So they think they're more likely to tie the record than break it. Chance that they're going to be the number one seed, 93%.
It's interesting because they're still only 3.5 ahead of the Spurs. Yep. It wouldn't take much other than a turned ankle for it to suddenly be a race.
Although he's turned his ankle and they've continued to win anyway.
Yeah.
Chances of reaching the NBA Finals, according to them, 45%, which seems a little bit low.
Does to me. I think when you look at, especially when you look at the odds to win the title, theirs are going to be a little longer because of the San Antonio factor. Cleveland has a better chance to get through the East, and the Warriors are going to probably have to get through San Antonio at some point.
Their chance of winning the NBA title, and this, like I said, to make it to the finals, 45% chance of winning, 39%. So basically they're saying if they make it, they're going to win.
Yeah.
It's a long shot that the Eastern Conference will win, but I'd say 39%, that's a little longer than I would call it for the Warriors. I think the Warriors are, at this point, 50-50 to win the whole thing. But they're currently on pace. They are 59-6. They get the Pelicans tonight, which would put them through 66 games. If they win, it's 60-6, which would be one game ahead of that Bulls team's pace. So they still have some tough games down the stretch. Obviously, the two games with San Antonio are the ones that kind of jump. Or, well, two games at San Antonio. They have three games with San Antonio with these remaining games. Two of them are in San Antonio. But, beyond that, and it's not just on the schedule now, but beyond that, there's no other teams that you even look at and go, ooh, that team, that could be a worry spot for them. So, but what I've noticed anyway, about this team is when they lose, they're losing to teams that you don't expect them to lose to.
Like the Lakers.
Like the Lakers and the Blazers and the Pistons, the Nuggets, I don't remember. Mavericks.
Mail it in games.
Yeah, basically. The Bucks. That's their six losses. I can remember off my head their six losses this year. That's how few they've lost, which is miraculous. But if they win both those Spurs games, the two games at San Antonio, which I'm not saying they will, I think they'd be lucky to split those two.
Yeah,
I still think that they're going to get that record or at least a share of it.
All right. Maybe you had a bad weekend this weekend.
Could have. I'm guessing they're clamping down on you guys while you're out at the rodeo. There's a lot of these checkpoints out there. Law enforcement, they're stepping up their efforts. No refusal weekends. They can force you to take a blood test. I saw in Austin, I think it was double-digit DUIs the first weekend of South by Southwest in Austin. If your weekend sucked because of a DWI arrest, don't despair. There's still hope. Even if you failed the breath or blood test the police gave you. A lot of things about those tests you should know about. The breath tests, they're inaccurate, they're unreliable. These machines aren't even warranted fit for breath testing on humans. They make temperature assumptions that create artificially high results and then destroy the evidence that it checked, making rechecking and proving your innocence impossible. So failing that test, not the end of the world. Juries are smart. They're going to notice the problems with the machine. Same with the blood test. A lot of inaccuracies about police blood testing you should know about. It's done by a process called gas chromatography, not the same as medical blood testing. In fact, they're not even testing your blood with the blood test. They're testing the air above your blood. Very indirect, very circumstantial test for alcohol. Attorney Gary Trichter is a DWI specialist right here in Houston. He's experienced in telling the truth about these blood tests. He's one of only four board-certified DWI specialists in the state. If you failed the breath or blood test, whether it's DWI or DUI, or hell, it's in the 90s today, boating while intoxicated, call Attorney Gary Trichter. Put his number on your cell phone right now at 713-524-1010 or visit texasdwilaw.com. That's 713-524-1010 for Gary Trichter.
ESPN 97.5. From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780. ESPN is your number. So this is officially butt rock. I think this song probably is butt rock, but
yeah.
Well, we'll use that to transition into our next story, which was going to be the gym of the day, but I got a better one. A woman in Baltimore is suing several parties after a sewer line backup where she was, quote, blown off her toilet. I was literally covered in feces. Are you kidding me? Who wants that? Well, some people pay for that, but that's a different thing. She also said she was physically and emotionally injured. She is suing the mayor, city council, and two contractors. In 2014, the city hired a contractor to clean the sewer line in her neighborhood with high-pressure hoses. Unfortunately, she was on the toilet when it backed up and she was blown off. That has got to be...
It's so vile.
That's a crappy way to end your day. See, knowing how you feel about poo...
Dude.
How much would you be selling it? How much would you be suing them for?
I mean, if it's enough to power me off the toilet seat, that's a lot. That's probably half a mil. This is our starting point for that conversation.
713-780-ESPN.
I found out how to check who's signed up so far.
Oh, good, yeah. John. About time you start doing something.
So if you go to that bracket page and you go under main and you hit members, you'll see a list of people that have signed up already. And all three of us are in.
Members.
Okay. How do you feel about Oregon going into the tournament? Because I have them going really far.
I do, too. I like Oregon a lot. I mean, they've been one of the most consistent teams all year. They've flown under the radar because they're Oregon and not North Carolina or Kansas. If that team had Kentucky on their jerseys or, you know, any other traditional powers name on their jerseys, people would be scared of that team. If they said UCLA instead of Oregon, people would be scared of that team. But it says Oregon, so people are sleeping on them. That's a really, really good team.
Usually this is where I say, you know what? We did almost a whole segment on that in the 4 o'clock hour. That if you go to podcastarena.com, you would have heard that.
Well, because I just filled out my bracket, and I don't know how I feel about it. So,
oh, well, I don't feel good about mine at all, which means I'll change it 26 times between now.
Yeah, probably.
I never feel good about my bracket. And I'm in the unenviable position where people bring me their brackets to look at, and like they want to get my opinion on them. Meanwhile, my bracket almost always sucks. I've won like maybe one or two bracket pools in the last 10 years. Maybe. I'm not very good at this.
I've basically gone...
And when I don't win, I'm not coming in second or third. I am crashing and burning when I don't win.
Usually if Kentucky wins, I win.
So, which is why you didn't win last year.
Right, right.
I was one of the few people who faded Kentucky last year. I just picked the wrong team.
And the only reason that I just... that's almost what I blanket do now is because that's the only time I've ever won. I've won... I think three times, and all three times were Kentucky championships.
Now you can't, I mean, this is one of those years where you can't really fade the, you know, the rest of the brackets. Last year, I mean, to me, if you picked Kentucky to win last year in your bracket, you had almost zero chance of winning.
Right.
Because the rest of your bracket had to be pretty much perfect, because it was something like 80% of brackets had Kentucky winning. So you have to be perfect everywhere else. So... I went against Kentucky and in the hopes that they lost. And if my team even made it a round further than Kentucky, it put me in the running. And I didn't win last year, but I did finish better than I probably should have otherwise, because the rest of my bracket was, again, crappy. But this year there's not a favorite that you can fade like that.
Yeah, I think you can play against Kansas. I think you can play against I'm not crazy about Villanova or Virginia either. I think those are teams you can play against. But a lot of people are going to do that. And, I mean, I think it's going to be fun for brackets. But I also have a sneaking suspicion I could be dead the first weekend.
Yeah.
Let's get John on. What's up, John?
Hey, how you doing today?
Sports.
Hello?
Hey, sports.
Hey, sports to you. Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about the one and done college basketball player.
All right.
The situation is the rule definitely don't have to be changed, because it don't give an advantage to all the big programs that get those McDonald All-Americans and then they don't go to the pros. Those teams tend to get championships far and few in between compared to the programs that get average players that grow into somebody. And then when the tournament come around their season, in their junior and senior years, they tend to win a lot more championships. So I don't feel the rule needs to be changed. I just want to know how you feel about that rule.
Well, I mean, I'd argue that that may have been the case at one point. I don't know if that's necessarily true anymore. I think you're starting to see these one-and-done teams start to have more of an impact over the last couple of years. I mean, Duke did it with not a whole team of one-and-done guys, but they had a good chunk of them. You know, when Kentucky wins, it's usually with one-and-done guys. It's tough.
Well, he's won it one time since he's been there, and it was all – that was Anthony Davis and every single one of them.
Entire freshman class.
Yeah, and – you know, last year, the thing that kind of separated them, they had a bunch of guys who'd come back for a couple of years. And, you know, I think that's one of the reasons they were so good in the regular season. And this year's Kentucky team actually has a couple of veterans, too. But it's there's not going to be many teams that can do that because you have to have two or three of those guys to be really good. I mean, you have one and be LSU.
Yeah.
If it's... You have to have a combination of those guys and then some veterans who've been around in a while, unless you are Kentucky where you can get all five guys out there. So like I said first hour, I don't think it really affects the NBA that much. It does affect college basketball, but the good coaches are figuring out how to work it. 713-780-ESPN's your number. Remember when Colin Kaepernick said he wanted to play for the Browns last week?
Yes.
May not be the case.
Changed up.
Well, apparently Kaepernick is wary of taking a lower money deal on a bad team that is losing talent and then may also use its first round pick, number two overall, on a quarterback.
Well, I'd be wary of that too. You know what I'd also be wary of? Being unemployed when the season starts.
Somebody's going to give this guy a chance, but
I don't understand why these guys who... Like, guys like Robert Griffin III, Colin Kaepernick, these are not guys, I don't understand why they believe they're entitled to a starting job somewhere. I'm sure you want to be a starter, but at some point you've both lost your jobs to guys that were considered way lesser players than you.
Especially Blaine Gabbert.
Blaine Gabbert, who for my money is one of the worst players that has a jersey in the NFL. Has no business being in the NFL. And not only did he take your job, he outplayed you last year. Bob Griffin lost his job to Kirk Cousins. I understand that at one point you were a starter, one point you had some success. In RG3's case specifically, you were a high draft pick. You know, there's sort of an expectation that comes along with that. My recommendation, take a job. Go out there and earn being the starter. Don't worry about who they're going to draft number two, because if you're better than that guy, you'll play. If you're not better than that guy, you'll be his backup, which is probably what you should be. You know, I don't understand where the entitlement that I don't know is it not. You know, they're looking at drafting somebody, dude.
They don't have to take a pay cut.
Go in there and compete, win the job.
Well. I don't understand the mentality that, oh, well, trade me if you're not going to let me compete here.
If you're not going to let me compete, they're letting you compete.
Yeah.
They'll let you compete. Can you win that competition? I don't know, but they'll let you compete. I hate that. Hate it. You know what I don't hate, Fred?
Well, I know you hate, you don't hate your job, but a lot of people do.
No, a lot of people do, and I hate not making enough money. That's the worst. And I know some of you are out there stuck in jobs where you're not making enough money. That's why you need to know about my good friends over at My Computer Career. You know, how many people do you know who are working in the computer industry? Everybody's got buddies that work in IT. I do, you do, everybody does. None of those dudes are broke. They're all paying their bills because there's a ton of computer jobs out there. And IT is consistently ranked as one of the fastest growing job industries in the country. Not only in the country, in the city. Houston's one of the hottest computer job markets in the whole country. There are companies hiring IT guys all over the city, but to get those jobs, you've got to get the skills. You've got to have the certifications. Place to get those skills, mycomputercareer.edu. There's a huge demand for certified pros. My Computer Career has job placement specialists that will work with you to get you these jobs. Obviously, going back to school can help you move up in your career. It will in any field, but I know what you're thinking. Oh, I don't have time to go back to school. I don't have the money to go back to school. My Computer Career makes it easy. You'll be in and out of school in less than a year. Financial aid's available, including the GI Bill. Go to mycomputercareer.edu. Take the free career evaluation today, which is really difficult to say, really easy to do. It's the first step to changing your life and making more money. Mycomputercareer.edu. Take their free career evaluation. Tell them AJ with ESPN 97.5 sent you.
The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. And we're both just having our first day bracket lament.
Yeah.
I hate mine already. I hate mine too. And then I'll go and change it and pick some team that has no chance.
And then they'll inevitably lose.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess John Elway feels pretty good about Mark Sanchez. Sanchez had his press conference. Said, Elway told him, get in here and compete your butt off for a starting role. Says, that's my goal to start this coming fall and be ready to play and help this team win. He did say, this is one of the best organizations in sports, not just football. So when I got the phone call and the GM said, I'm trading you to Denver, I was like, Denver, Colorado? Are you kidding? Okay, yeah, let's do it. This is just an absolute dream come true. I would be very happy about getting traded to Denver for different reasons. But... Hey, who knows? Maybe he's into that too. But they're not going to just sit on Mark Sanchez, right?
I don't know. I mean, I can't imagine that's all they're going to do. I hope that's not all they're going to do. I think Denver's a smart enough organization to go, all right, we got Mark Sanchez, but we need hell. Maybe they're planning on drafting somebody.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, then maybe Mark Sanchez isn't the worst thing to have.
No.
Because from what I understand, nobody seems to want to pay Ryan Fitzpatrick big money. I don't really understand it. If Brock Osweiler's worth $16 million a year, Ryan Fitzpatrick's worth $16 million a year to me.
Sam Bradford's worth $18
million. Yeah, especially if I'm the Broncos and the rest of my team is pretty strong. I'd want to go into the season with someone who I felt is pretty safe. And Ryan Fitzpatrick strikes me as super safe. You know who doesn't? Mark Sanchez. You know who else doesn't? A rookie that you can get at pick 32 or 31 in this year's case.
How much of it, though, is do you think this is just arrogance that they think they can plug anybody in there? Because, let's be honest, they kind of did last year. Peyton Manning was just anybody. And now I think that's fine if your defense is just as good as it was last year, but you've already lost.
They're not going to be as good as they were last year defensively.
Well, then you need to be better on offense. So, I don't know. I'll be interested to see what they do, but... I would hope that this is not the last guy they're bringing in.
Yeah.
I mean, certainly you need to bring in somebody who can compete with him. Although Sanchez has been that kind of quarterback with those Jets teams where he would just go out there and not screw up until he butt fumbled. And
yeah.
Everything kind of went to hell, and he's never been the same since. 713-780-ESPN. But no, getting back to what you were talking about with these guys thinking they should be starters, I get the mindset of wanting to be one.
Of course.
But
it's everybody's goal.
Here's the flip side. You look around, you see all these teams that are so desperate for quarterbacks that they probably are looking at those places and saying, yeah, you know what? Blaine Gabbert beat me out, but I can start there. I can start in Cleveland. I can start for the Rams. Because what are the options right now? Josh McCown,
right.
Case Keenum, who's not even signed in L.A. So I could see that. I could see... them thinking they
can. But if you're worried about a rookie taking your job,
well,
maybe you shouldn't be there.
Then you're kind of mentally weak. To me, I would be all about competing. If especially if I'd screwed up as badly as he did and lost my job. But I mean, this is a guy who banged a teammate's girlfriend. Come on. You know, it's hard to have a lot of respect for that kind of player. 713-780-ESPN.
Allegedly, right?
Allegedly.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's dating her now.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe they're abstinent. Maybe he's doing that Russell Wilson thing.
Yeah, I bet that's happening. 318. Denver should draft Trevon Boykin in the fifth. Trevon Boykin is not an NFL quarterback. He might make it as a wide receiver. And oh, by the way, that screw up he had at the bowl game ain't going to help him.
That doesn't help at all.
No, he's and I know TCU fan loves him. It's very much like the Case Keenum factor here, but the truth is the guy's not an NFL quarterback, and it's a different skill level. And you see this with a lot of guys. You love him in college. Same thing with Manziel. Guy was great in college, but didn't have the skill set for the NFL. 713-780-ESPN, 713-7. Lamont brings up a good point. It says all of these historically great defenses with average quarterbacks really do anything the next year. I would just throw this out that Wade Phillips in year two, historically not as successful.
No.
So I don't think they're going to be able to get by with the kind of quarterback play that they had last year. And they are going to miss some of those guys on defense. And then there's the inevitable, you know, some of these guys, it's once you get to the mountaintop, some of them don't perform as well.
Yep.
That's just natural. ATX, see what she tweeted us?
No.
Best type of mermaid to bleep. An alien one. Come on.
I don't know. I'm out on that.
I'm just the only one.
That's a you thing.
The only one I'm in on is you know, from Little Mermaid. That's
a cartoon one.
Well, a cartoon one, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the best kind. So it's not really a discussion because she doesn't really exist. And if she did, yeah, Ariel would be awesome. I mean, with legs, preferably. But
then she's not a mermaid.
Without legs is cool, too. Just because it'd be different. I like different.
What about Daryl Hannah in Splash?
Definitely.
So, yeah, don't say the only one.
Okay, so it's up to two now. If you can find me a third one.
Those are just famous mermaids. There's not. Well, I mean, that's like the only two famous mermaids.
Well, if you can find me another one, I mean, if there's a trifecta there.
You know there would be. I mean, I don't know if there's a third famous mermaid, but if there is, I'm sure you would.
Absolutely.
Which means that you're just into mermaids. So if you saw a regular mermaid that was like, you know, wasn't famous, wasn't like a movie mermaid, just like worked at McDonald's or something, you'd probably do it.
No, I wouldn't.
I think you would.
Not a McDonald's mermaid.
Yeah,
come on.
She'd be super scuzzy, smoking a cigarette.
No.
Yep.
That's not happening.
I could see it now.
713-780-ESPN's your number. No, it would have to be, you know, a classy mermaid.
Oh, please. You don't care.
Yeah, I do. I have standards. It's not just any mermaid, just like it's not just any alien chick. It would have to be, you know, a movie type one. That's where it all comes from anyway, is the movies. Let's get off this topic. Joe.
Thank you.
Let's get off the mermaids. Joe, you're on the Blitz.
Hello.
Hey, sports.
Hello.
Hey now.
Sports.
Action.
Listen, what I was calling about was referencing Peyton Manning, and I've just listened to it. I listen to you guys as much as I can when I'm driving, running around town. But with regard to Peyton Manning, and by the way, I'm not the biggest Peyton Manning fan ever. I like him. I think he's a great player, and I think his history, his legacy speaks for itself. But I keep hearing comments that how weak and how bad a player he was last year, how he didn't have the tools to do what he did, picking up a Super Bowl ring. I just wanted to add that when you have a legacy of greatness, when you have the mental aptitude of a Peyton Manning, that's not something you can just discard as when your skill set is aging. I mean, you still have that memory recall that of what happens. You still see that you may not be able to react to the field as fast as you used to, but you can still see what's going on. And are able to put your team in a situation where they can benefit from your experience and from your mental capacity. And I was just saying that that deserves some credit. And there's a lot of people with a lot of better skill set than Peyton is today, but nowhere near the mindset.
Well, here's what I will say. I mean, I think maybe you're you're given a lot of maybe even more credit than is due to what Peyton Manning's mindset should have been going into that game. Peyton Manning historically has, for the most part, been a playoff failure relative to expectations. You know, that guy, until this game, had lost more Super Bowls than he'd won, lost more playoff games than he'd won. And, you know, this year was, I mean, obviously big for him. But I don't know that Peyton Manning, I mean, Tom Brady, I understand that. Tom Brady probably goes into every playoff game just kind of expecting that he's going to win. Even if things aren't stacked up for them, he expects to win because he's always won. I don't know if Peyton Manning should have felt that way. And I don't know if I give him any kind of bonus points. I thought the Broncos would win. I think they won because they had the better team. I don't think they won because of Peyton Manning.
No, in fact, and late in that game, I even tweeted this. It's like they needed to go to the water boy offense and just take a knee, because the only way Carolina was getting back in that game was if Peyton Manning threw an interception. And right after that, he threw an interception. I mean, they got the lead with their defense and really one drive, and that was good enough to win the football game because their defense played at a really elite level. And I get what he's saying, because I've been saying the same thing. It's like you can see that Manning knows what to do, that he knows where to put the ball. He just can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I give him no credit. Zero. And sorry. All right, we're going to take a very quick break. We come back. We have a Zadok Jewelers gem of the day. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And why does it, what's the word, burn? When's it my turn? Wouldn't I love to explore that shore of the bone?
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
And we are back on the Blitz. Thursday is the first round of the NCAA tournament, and it's St. Patrick's Day. Nobody wants to be stuck in the office, so join us as we broadcast live from Christian's Tailgate in the Heights on White Oak. We'll start the party at 9 a.m. with Reality Check and party the day away until the Blitz has the last word. It's Basketball and Green Beer Thursday with Christian's Tailgate and ESPN 97.5. That is going to be a party. I didn't realize it was St. Patrick's Day in addition to being the first day of the tournament. That is an excuse to take the day off, my friends, and just get totally obliterated. But, you know, don't drive.
Right.
Because then you'd have to call Gary Trichter. All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right, we kind of have a theme here with Toilet Woman and me telling the story about the two dickweeds that were going to pee on a homeless guy. Are you a fan of Rice Krispies treats?
I like them okay. Okay. They're my favorite.
A criminal investigation is underway after...
I like the sticky, you know?
Well, this probably is even stickier. A criminal investigation is underway after a video surfaced online showing a man urinating on a Kellogg factory assembly line.
Nope.
Company says it learned of the video Friday and immediately alerted law enforcement authorities and regulators. A criminal investigation is being conducted by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. The graphic video shows a man urinating on an assembly line, then panning to a sign with the Kellogg logo. Ugh. Kellogg said its own investigation determined the video was recorded at its Memphis, Tennessee factory in 2014.
I just bought some cereal.
Well... Here, they're going to reassure you. Would you like the reassurance?
Yes, because I've been, you know, I've been eating really healthy the last few weeks.
Yep.
And I was like, we went to the grocery store yesterday, and I was like, I want some cereal for after my match. I was like, I want to eat some junk cereal, not like healthy cereal. I was like
Lucky Charms.
I got Golden Grahams and O's, which are like, I mean, they're like honey. Bunches inside of Cheerios, basically.
Okay.
And I don't know if those are made by Kellogg's or not.
Well, according to Kellogg's, it is important to note that any products that could be potentially impacted,
yes,
would be very limited.
Okay.
And past their expiration dates. It says the products that were potentially impacted include Rice Krispies treats, granola clusters used in some products, and puff rice treats that it no longer makes. However, if this happened in 2014, then somebody's already gotten soggy cereal.
Yeah, I mean, how does that make you feel if you eat that stuff? Now, I don't eat any of that stuff.
Right.
But what if I did? I'd be so angry right now.
Yeah.
That's a class action.
Well, I'm wondering how many people out there actually had Rice Krispies treats.
I don't know.
And I would have to say, you'd have to study the timeline from production to when they're on the shelves. But I think they turn that around pretty quick, right? I'm sure there's somebody who knows how this works. So that is, I'm guessing, your disgruntled, soon-to-be ex-employee trying to ruin your image. But I got to say, works for me.
Ugh.
I'm out. Not that I ever eat Rice Krispies treats, but I'm not going to start now. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Anyway, that's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right, I want to give something to the people because I like the people.
You don't want to pee in their cereal.
No, never. Never. I'm not big on peeing on people or anything like that. That's just...
In fact, you fight it.
Yeah, well,
like Batman.
I like old Batman, though.
Yeah,
like.
Could you? What if they would have tried to fight you over this?
I would have fought him,
but there was multiples of them.
Yeah, but I was also close enough to a whole bunch of friends that I would have. I eventually would have gotten back up.
Okay,
but there were only two of them in a chick, and they were really drunk. I was just kind of slightly buzzed at the time, so I think. The level of alcohol consumption versus that would have been an equalizer for me because I was functional and they really weren't.
Okay.
Because it was bad enough that they were going to pee outside in broad daylight on the corner of a fairly busy area in Midtown.
That's not wise.
But they were going to pee on a homeless guy. So they were pretty lit. So advantage me there. They were also younger and, you know, certainly stronger. But I think with the alcohol difference, I would have projected me as a winner.
Okay.
And even though I'd had some whiskey, and that's why I want to give you away two tickets to go to the second annual Houston Whiskey Festival.
Oh, it's so generous of you.
This Saturday, March 19th. I love taking care of the people. At the Silver Street Studios, sample the plethora of whiskeys, bourbons, scotches, and many other fine spirits. Plus, enjoy craft beers, local wineries, live music, and the Sirius Cigar Lounge. Tickets are limited, so get yours now at HoustonWhiskeyFestival.com. We will take caller number 20. You're going courtesy of the Blitz because we love you guys. But if you're one of those guys who was trying to pee on the homeless dude, you cannot win the tickets. Do not try to call in and win the tickets.
If you did try to pee on the homeless dude, I recommend not admitting to that over the phone.
Yeah, because you probably would admit to being scared off by an old man.
Right.
So, very angry old man. I probably looked a little scary. Like if I'd had a cane, I bet you that would have put it over the top.
Maybe.
Threatened to beat him with a cane. All right, guys. Maybe they were just scared because, you know, I've lost a lot of weight and I actually look better than I used to.
You look like a war machine, you're saying?
Maybe so. Maybe so. Well, before, I just looked like a big fat guy who couldn't have caught him if he tried. But thanks to quick weight loss, I got 50 pounds off. That changed it. But I'll tell you what, man, they can help you. If you've been looking in the mirror, you don't like what you see, or you've been thinking, hey, man, I really need to get some weight off. And I know how it happens, man. You're working the desk job. You're sitting there all the time. You're not eating right. You don't get a chance to get to the gym. And before you know it, you get to a certain age, man, that metabolism slows down. And sooner or later, you're going to put on some weight. Well, quick weight loss is going to help you get it off, learn how to keep it off, and they're going to fix that for you. Doesn't matter how much you need to lose. It could be up to 100 pounds. There's no exercise required, no prepackaged meals. And right now, get 6 weeks for $66, all weight loss services included. And kids join free with parent enrollment. Some conditions do apply. For your free, no-obligation consultation, visit one of their 15 Houston-area locations. Go to quickweightlosscenter.com or give them a call at 1-888-305-1117. That's 1-888-305-1117. Quick Weight Loss Center, 1-888-305-1117.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.